Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
The Bible teaches us that He inhabits the praises of His people. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you praise Him tonight? He's worthy of all praise and all honor. Amen. Hallelujah. We're serving a mighty God. Praise you, Lord God. Can you worship Him, saints of God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. We have a God we can call upon. We have a God that could deliver us of our sins and heal our afflictions. Amen. But the Bible commands us to praise and worship and honor Him. For He's worthy of all praise, all glory. We love You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus.
Thank You, Lord God. Love You, Lord Jesus. We exalt You, Lord God, and praise Your holy name. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can you feel His mighty presence? The Bible said it's like a river of living water coming from your innermost being. Amen. Washing and cleansing away your sin. Hallelujah. Making you whole. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord God.
So we exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King.
Thank You, Lord God.
Worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, why are you giving Him a hand? Because He's here. Hallelujah. The Bible said He'd been here all the time. Amen. Thank You, Lord God. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's good to have the Driggers family here with us this evening, an honor and a pleasure. Dear friends, been wonderful friends for many years. It's a real blessing to have them come and fellowship with us, coming with a need and an expectation. Amen. How many of you ever had needs before the Lord? Amen. Come on now. Have you ever had a need of God? Amen. I tell you what, I've been before the Lord with needs. Amen. I was sharing a little testimony with them as they come in the door. You know, the doctors come to me and, you know, they try to put fear in you. You know, and I don't have no fear of death. Amen. Death can't touch a son of God. Amen. They might put me in a box someday and they might put dirt on me, and some of you may mourn a day or two. You know, but that's not death according to my scriptures and the Word of God. Amen. The Bible said we've passed from death unto life. You know, and one might say, well, are you afraid of shortening the number of days? Hey, what I got in store for me, stored up away, man, I'm not afraid at all to go off over there anytime. Paul said in the scriptures, you know, it'd be more blessed, you know, for him if he did go. If he did, as your terminology says, die, it would be gain for me, he said. But, you know, but be gain for you for me to stay, amen. And if I can't do something for God and see the mighty hand of God move in our midst, I'd just soon go on, amen. But He's here with us tonight, amen. Have you felt His touch and His presence this evening, amen? Let's pray together while we're standing. We'll go right into the scriptures and the Word of God. Most gracious Father, We thank you, Lord God, for your wonderful word, your grace, your mercy, your kindness, Lord God, knowing that we're nothing, can do nothing, say nothing, Lord God, knowing that there's no power except to be given from you, Lord God. And Father, we claim to have nothing, but knowing that all power in, from heaven is in you. And Lord God, as we call upon you tonight, Lord God, asking you to move in our midst and our behalf, Father, as we come believing, expecting, and trusting, have your way in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You all can be seated this evening. You know, a lot of times ministers, you know, they have their notes and their itineraries or their plans and schedules of, you know, where they're going to go and things, and we've never been able to do that because the Lord speaks and he goes another direction. But we trust the Lord. Amen. The Word of God is rich and alive, and it dwells within us. Amen. The Word is real. And we're in a day and hour that people are burnt out, fed up, sick and tired of religion. I'm one of them people. I don't like religious people. You know, and come to a place in my life I don't much like most preachers. And that sounds terrible, doesn't it? And I would never speak against a child of God or one of God's ministers. I have too much fear of God. I would never speak against one of God's men. But the Bible teaches in the end times that many of them are just hirelings. You know, it's just a job. You know, well, my granddaddy was a great preacher. You know, did him pretty good. I'm going to go get me a job as a preacher. I'll go to college and go to seminary school and cemetery school, I call it, and become a preacher. You know, and there's more of that than not, if you want to know the truth. And it was that way in Jesus' time, and it's even more so now in this day and hour that we're in. My purpose here isn't to slander, to knock down. Sometimes people think they knock other things down, it makes them bigger. It actually makes you smaller. So it's not my purpose to knock anything down. It's my purpose to expose the truth of God's Word. And the Bible teaches us very clearly that in the end times that many have departed the faith. And again, it teaches that there's hirelings, and it also goes on to say that ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light, into preachers. You understand that? It's really frightening to observe and to see. The Word of God is the truth, and that is the only truth. The thing is we got to defend this Word. If I bring anything to you that cannot be backed up in the Scriptures and the Word of God, then it isn't worth having. The foundation is the Lord Jesus and His way, and He is the way, and He is the only way. Amen. I'm going to purposely, if the Lord would allow me to encourage faith tonight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we'll see nothing done in anything. When you have need, without faith, the need will never be met. Jesus said, you know, if you had a faith just the size of a mustard seed, we could speak to this mountain and it would be moved. These things have become religious little quotes and sayings. So that's all they are to people. You know, well, you know, the Bible says this and the Bible says this, and it becomes quotes. But you know, we are people that need to live the Word of God. Many times we don't see the vindication or the manifestation of God's Word because we don't live the Word. But we are one with the Word. The Bible said we're written epistles read and known of all men. And you know, you're a man just like I'm a man. All men's hearts fashioned alike. And the thing is we're not speaking about men tonight. We're speaking about God. Amen. And He's given us the Spirit of truth and power and the power of God. Let's read here in Luke, the 10th chapter, a little bit. And what we have to remember when we read the Scriptures, we don't want to read the Bible as a historian. Most people go and read the Bible, well, yeah, 2,000 years ago, boy, this was a great and this was awesome. But my Bible said He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And He says to every generation. So we got to know that God's the same. And if I could read something in this Bible right here, brothers and sisters, and I can't see it vindicated today, then there's something wrong with me, not the Word. And the thing is we let unbelief get in our way of the real, true, miraculous things. I'm going to speak about things as the Lord directs, but we could talk about Jesus. Nobody here would question He's God. Jesus, Emmanuel, the interpretation means God with us. God manifested in the flesh, seen of all men, walked among men, God. Amen. So when we realize that and understanding that Jesus is our God, He's our Lord and our Savior, and He's the same. Now the thing is Jesus made a statement in the Scriptures here. He said, greater things shall you do than even what I've done. And you could say, well, I just can't see that happening. I can see that happening. And you say, but that would be such an insult to our Lord and God that walked the earth to say that you could do greater things. I can't do greater things lest he granted the power and came and lived in me. You understand that? So the glory goes to him because I can do nothing. So where does the glory, he says, what does it mean that you'll do greater things? Because we are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. The Bible said part of that membership of that many-membered body. Now the thing that gets in the way is unbelief. Now we know that Jesus didn't have unbelief, is this correct? Now you can for sure know that he didn't. But then yet when he went to Nazareth, his hometown, there wasn't many miracles done there. And why wasn't there miracles done in Nazareth? It was because of unbelief. That's what the Bible says. There's a thing that has to be a part to receive. Something is to believe. And we have to get unbelief out of the way. One person went to our Lord and asked him, he said, well, would you please pray for my unbelief? You know, because he saw something in his way. There was so many times there was a man that sought after the Lord, and when he caught up with him, he went to him and he wanted healing for his child. Went to the Lord, and the Lord said, well, let me go to your home now. And he said, you're a busy man, and I know that you wouldn't even have to go there. You could just give the word. And the Lord said, that was great faith. This man had such a great faith that if the Lord Jesus would just give that word. And when he got home, his child was healed because he had faith. And he spoke to the Lord. He said, if you would just speak that word, amen. God's word is still real and is still alive and is still well. But when we say greater things, how could we do greater things? Jesus raised the dead. Jesus opened up blinded eyes, deaf ears, made lame to walk. Amen. We could do greater things, brethren. And we have done greater things. Now, I could go into much explanation of that. And that could be so offensive to people thinking, you can't say you're better than God. I didn't say I was better than God. I'm small. I'm nothing. But I'm telling you what he said. They went to Jesus and they were picking up stones to stone him. And he looked at the ones that were picking up the stones. He asked them a question. He said, for what good works have I done that you want to take up these stones to stone me? This is what they replied to Jesus. He said, it's not for the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. And Jesus turned to them and replied. And he said, but isn't it also written that you are gods? So now the thing is then we start getting into doctrines and a lot of things. And people say, well, you're not a God. I know I'm a man, just like you're a man, appointed unto death and to die. But then yet I'm born of God. And when I was born again, it wasn't born as another human being. I was born into the spirit world, a child of God. The Bible said, beloved, now you are the sons of God. Now, brethren, the reason that people die like men, it talks about in the book of Psalms, says men die because of a lack of knowledge. We've got to come to a revelation and an understanding that we pass from death unto life. The last enemy of God to be conquered was death. Death has to be abolished. And you say, well, it hasn't been done. If it hasn't been done, then Jesus is a liar and his word's a lie. And we may as well quit preaching the gospel and we just all go to hell together. But we know the word's God's true. Death has been abolished, brothers and sisters. And what we have to do is come to revelation and understanding. When Jesus was walking with his disciples and going along, and Mary came and found him and was weeping about Lazarus. And they asked Jesus if he would go. And he said, I'll go and awake him. He's just asleep. And they replied to him. They said, oh, no, he's not asleep. He's been in the ground for 4 days. He stinks by now. And he said, oh, no, he's asleep. Jesus knew what he was talking about. Brethren, so we got to understand the word and believe the word. The thing is you have family members that have gone on, loved ones, that were saints of God. And you say they died, not according to the scriptures. They're asleep. And it talks about the elders who have gone on before us that are asleep. And you say, why are you saying these things? Because we need to get understanding about this Bible and about this word, that we could live it, walk in it, believe it, and see that we're benefactors of it, that we could get the benefits of it. Because there's so much unbelief that kills us. Unbelief destroys healings. Unbelief destroys salvation. Unbelief, brothers and sisters, shorten numbers of days. Unbelief kills faith. You see, and faith is the very thing it takes for us to please God. Is it any harder to believe for faith unto salvation than it is for faith for a healing? Is it any harder to believe for faith to remove a sentence of death as a doctor gives you one than it would be to believe that you're born of God and saved? You know, so then we start getting into understanding. Some say, well, I'm saved because I said a sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. I confess that I'm a sinner, so I'm saved. It goes a little more complicated than that, but then it's that simple also. The thing is to be born again, you must receive His Spirit. Just as a mother that gets married, just like this young couple, been married about a year now, and have a nice, beautiful little baby. Now, the thing is that for her to have this baby, she had to receive the seed that come forth from the loins of the dad. The seed had to enter into this mother to bring forth the life, naturally speaking. Well, now we talk about being born again in the spirit realm. Do you realize it's exactly the same way? Do you realize that? It's exactly the same way. And I could take you to the Bible and prove that to you. The thing is the Bible said that ye that are born of God cannot sin. And it says, why? It said, because that seed remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin. And where did that seed come from? That seed become married unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have heard that we're the bride of Christ? You say, but brother, you're a man. But he says he's coming back for his bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So you see, I've got to stand here as a man and say, I'm the bride of Christ. Am I teaching sodomy or homosexual perversion? You know, if I say I'm married unto the Lord Jesus? No, you see, you've got your dimensions crossed up. You looking at you and I, Brother Charles over here, I look at him, he's a man. He looks at me, I'm a man. I've got a wife over here. Well, see, this is in this dimension of this visible world, you see, in the things that we see. But then yet, when we look at things through the mind of God, all flesh is feminine. And it's all got to subject to the masculine, the woman submitting herself unto her own husband. Jesus is our husband, so we submit unto Him. Now the thing is the heir to the throne of God is the sons of God. So the thing is that when we are born again, we become the sons of God. So now we rend the veil, the dimensional barriers here, is that I could stand here before you and say that I'm the bride of Christ and I've entered into the relationship in a marriage. When they brought the people before Him and they come up and said, I prophesied, I cast out devils in your name. And He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. Why did He say, I never knew you? When we go to the scriptures again, the thing is we know that God's an all-knowing God. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows how many raindrops have hit the earth. You understand that? He knows how many times your heart has beat. He's an all-knowing God. But He looked at somebody and says, I never knew you. Joseph, y'all know that he married the Virgin Mary. She could have been killed and stoned to death because she was found with child without being married. You understand that? And that was a punishment under the law of death. And they could have taken and killed her. But Joseph espoused himself to her, married unto her, but it said he never knew her until after Jesus was born. Now you're coming to the understanding what that knowing is. That knowing is the marriage relationship. When a man would get married and he would come to know his wife, that means that they went in to consummate the marriage through the relationship. Now the thing is if you've been married unto the Lord Jesus Christ as the bride of Christ, then you know that the bride was saved, or the woman was saved for childbearing, the Bible says. It's in this New Testament doctrine. It said the woman being saved in childbearing. So now I've got to look at this as being the bride and saying, you know, God repented that He even made man, but He saved us for childbearing. And now because we become in the realms of the bride of Christ, we submit ourselves unto the Lord God. And when we submit ourselves unto Him, we enter into the relationship with Him. Now you're going to have to think the marriage relationship, the Bible said the marriage bed is undefiled in all of its ways. It's pure, it's clean through the sanctimony of marriage. If it's outside of marriage, then it becomes a perversion and it's ungodly. We're married unto Jesus. Now the thing is the Bible said that we enter into the secret chambers. What is the secret chambers? It's a place prepared for the bride. You understand that? And we become married unto Him. We enter into the secret chambers with our Lord. And then we receive the seed. And the seed is what brings forth the heirs to the throne of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, is what the Bible teaches. And you say, why are we going into these things? For we can understand who we are and what power that we have as the sons of God. Sons of God are eternal. Sons of God cannot die. Sons of God are hid away in Christ, and the world cannot touch them. Amen. Yeah, a guy could walk in the door with his deer rifle and blast me all over this beautiful picture. And you say, oh, he killed that guy. He said he couldn't die. You see, you don't understand. The Bible said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Now, what would make us think that would be death? That's surely not death. You know, this body may fall to the ground. The heart may quit beating and it may quit breathing, but that isn't death. This is just a temporal dwelling place of that spirit to live and dwell and to manifest in. And when it gets away from this thing, it's total freedom. I don't know how many of you have had experiences. I don't like to talk about it because there's so much new age and witchcraft and foolishness and nonsense out there. I don't like to talk to people about spiritual things because there's so many wackos out there. But I have personally had experiences to come out of my body before. And I'm telling you, this body's weighty. It's heavy. When I was separated from it and I looked at it and I watched it, It's like, God, what a mess. You know, look at that. It looked like it was a travail just to breathe. It's like, gosh, because it was such a freedom away from it. Even when I was in that motorcycle wreck, the night they was working on me in the emergency room, I was watching them for just a minute. It wasn't very long, but I remember those kind of experiences. And you say, well, why would the Lord suffer to have that? Well, we're serving a mighty God. Amen. And he wants you to know that this body is nothing. You know, we need to take care of it. We need to honor the temple of God. We don't want to defile it. We don't want to destroy it. We have to honor it just as we have to honor the earth. But you know, brothers and sisters, the thing is that it's not something that we honor by the flesh in the perspective of fleshly admiration towards it. All admiration, all praise, and all glory goes unto our Lord and our God. And this is a temporary dwelling place for our Lord to live and dwell in, that he can have his being. The Bible said that they're sick and afflicted among us. And they said that the reason is because they do not know how to discern the body of God. And you know, when we think, well, what is the body of God? Well, you know, all denominations, all churches teach that we're the body of Christ. But we don't understand that. We say those kind of things, but we really don't understand it. Just as I say, we say born again. And we don't understand the realms. You see, if I was a medical doctor, I could explain the course of, again, the blood seed leaving the man and going into the woman and the cell divisions. You know, and I could go into much detail talking about the miracle of conception. But you see, there's a miracle of conception in the spiritual realm. We have to understand it just exactly the same way. Now, I know two young people could come together in love and marriage, and they're not going to understand all the miraculous things that are taking place within their body, you know, and all the stuff and that take place. And people do the same thing. They could come into the house of God, and they feel the anointing and the presence of God and fall in love with Jesus and make a confession and really truly receive salvation. But then yet there's been so many evangelists over the years that's gone out into the evangelistic field, say this prayer after me, and they tell people they're born again, and they leave and they go right back. The Bible said a dog returning unto the vomit. You know, a pig going back to the mire and rolling in the mire. See, we can't do that. That violates the scriptures and the word. God's people are holy people, godly people, righteous people. The attributes of Jesus will dwell in us. You know, I look at this little six-day-old baby that come in the door and I can see it looks like daddy. Now, the thing is, if I got a heavenly father and I'm born again, I should look like my father. What does he look like? He's holy, godly, and righteous and virtuous. You understand? His conversations are pure and clean and holy. He's always doing good and helping others. You see, if I don't have those attributes, then I could question that I'm maybe not his child. The Bible said the fruits of his spirit. And it teaches us what the fruits of his spirit are, and it teaches us what the fruits of the flesh are. There was many things I admired of my father. And he taught me how to work and hold a job and many things. And those were things that I wanted to be. But there was other things, the anger and the malice and the envy or the strife and those kind of things. I didn't want those things in my life, but you know what? I got those too. And I had to conquer those things. I had to overcome those things with help of the Lord. So you see, we're talking about a continual warfare, a fight, a good fight of faith. So we find that we're in a temporal body with afflictions, sicknesses, diseases, complications, and it's just a temporal dwelling place. You know, the little child they brought to church tonight, they come with the expectation of a miracle. They're saying that the little baby can't hear. But you know, brothers and sisters, the thing is that we're going to trust God for a natural healing. But you know, there's people that sit in the same church that got very good hearing, but they don't hear either. Jesus said, though you have eyes, you don't see, and though you have ears, you don't hear. And there's something much greater. I share the testimony of a woman that was blind, wrote many songs that we sing about all the time. I think her name's Fanny Crosby. Thank you. And she made a statement, if she received a healing to get her eyesight, that she would reject it. And the reason she said she would reject it, because she was afraid it would make her not be able to see what she's already seeing. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Amen. You see, God wants us to have both. But then yet God could take and utilize. Do you realize that when Brother Paul was on the street called straight going to Damascus, he had good eyesight? And he was struck by the Lord and made blind? And then they went over to Damascus, and when they baptized him in the name of Jesus, he received his eyesight back. God has his way in all things. The Bible said all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. And we got to trust and see the fulfillment of God in all things and that he makes things happen. They brought a sick child unto the Lord and they asked him. They said, is this sickness of this child from the sins of the fathers? You know, the grandfather and the father? you know, or whose sin is it of? And it said, no, it's just for that the Son of Man could be glorified and magnified. Amen. That could see the miracle of God, see something vindicated to bring forth the power of God. You see, brothers and sisters, there's nothing in you as a man or me as a man. We're nothing. The least of all, the Bible says. The least in all the kingdom. There's nobody smaller than Brother Rob. But I know who he is, amen. And we've called upon him on numerous occasions over and over and over again. And he's came and healed our afflictions. Let's take time here this evening and learn a little about God's word. After these things, the Lord appointed over 70 and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. There's some things I want to establish here. The Lord sent some out. 70, it's got a number here. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye before the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, nor salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter first, say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein. Now this is a commandment that the Lord's given them. Don't you realize when God's speaking and telling you to go do something, it's a commandment? Oh, I know about the Ten Commandments. I know about a whole lot more commandments. Amen. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But it is whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, do ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. We see here there's a commandment of the Lord sending them forth to go. I could take you over in just a couple books over from this into the book of Acts. We could go in there and read about Peter when he came to the gate called Beautiful. And there was a man that he was crippled from the time of his birth, born that way. Couldn't walk. And he laid there at the gate, and they came up, and he was begging for money, for alms. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have I give unto thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He said, rise up and walk. And it said the strength came into this man's legs, his ankle bones and stuff, and he rose up. And he went to glorifying and testifying our Lord and our God. Now we're talking about the early church. Now there's many that would say, well, those were things that was for the early church. Those were things that happened then. But again, as the Bible said, he's the same to every generation. Every generation. And you say, why don't we see these things today? Unbelief. We see those things. We see these things take place and happen. Not to the magnitude that we would like to, but we could testify of so many things. There was a brother sitting there. He don't come to church much, but he'd been to the doctors. And they checked him out, and he had pancreatic cancer and his esophagus. His esophagus was so eaten through with the cancer that it was bleeding and blood was coming through. And the doctors gave him about 3 to 6 months to live. And he come to church, and he sat right back there. We started worshiping the Lord like we was doing tonight. I said, let's have an altar service. And he got up, and he started to walk down that aisle right there, and he got to about right there by that window. And I said, brother, it's not necessary for you to come. God has already healed you in the name of the Lord. We didn't even anoint him with oil. But the virtue of the Lord Jesus departed from my body. The thing is when the woman with the issue of blood came to the Lord Jesus, she said, you know, if I could just touch his garment, that I'll receive my healing. She'd done been to the doctors for, I think the Bible says, 14 years and couldn't get any help from the doctors. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And it was all kinds of people pushing and pressing, trying to get close to Jesus. And all of a sudden he stopped and he looked at his disciples and he said, who touched me? Let me tell you what his disciples said. I'm going to paraphrase for a moment. They looked at him like, hey, Lord, what's wrong with you? What do you mean, who touched you? Man, there's hundreds of people around here trying to get them, people pushing and pulling. And what do you mean, who touched you? And he said, I felt virtue leave my body. Somebody touched him by faith. Amen. Somebody touched him by faith. And the woman that said she received the healing. The man went back to the doctors after he had numerous blood tests, x-rays, all the stuff. They'd done numerous tests. And he goes back and they say, oh, we've misdiagnosed. They didn't mix his diagnosis. The guy got touched by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God met him right there. And it took away the disease and the sickness. Another time I was crossing the Mexican border. Matter of fact, you folks met this little couple. They rented your trailer for a short time. The man was a heathen. The man was a drunk. The man was a whoremonger. The man wasn't right with God. But he had a little baby, a dear little wife. Little baby was in the hospital down there in a place called Del Rio, Texas. I was going across the border to preach. We had a sports arena. Supposed to be behind the sacred desk at 7 o'clock. Just sharing some testimonies with you, let you know God's still real. Amen. And we were coming across the border, and I got a phone call from one of the sisters. Said, hey, I just met this little family, and the baby's in the hospital, and they want to airlift it to San Antonio, Texas, but the baby doesn't have enough strength. They said if they try to move it from the hospital and unhook it, to airlift it, that it would die. This was Christmas Eve night, and we were going to preach the gospel. I was in a line, cars, three on each side, three this way, all around me. And I'm thinking, I need to go back to this hospital. We'll be late for this meeting, but we're going to go back and pray for this baby. And the Lord spoke to me as I was looking for a place to maneuver. Tried to turn around, he said, just go on. And he said, do what I tell you to do and the baby will be all right. So I got on the telephone and I called him. I said, look, the Lord instructed me to go on. And I said, everything's going to be all right. So I went on to the meeting and I got up behind the platform. Some of you were there. And I started testifying and speaking to the people, gathering the minds of the people. And I had an interpreter interpreting for me. And all of a sudden, I started sharing the story about the phone call from the baby. And I felt the anointing of God come all over me. And I started sharing with them. I said, you know, the doctor said the baby's going to die. And I screamed out. I said, the doctors are a liar. I said, the baby shall live, thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I screamed out, and all the people jumped to their feet. I'm speaking in English. And my Spanish interpreter was right there. And I don't know what he said, but all of a sudden the people jumped to their feet and they ran into the altars. And I'm looking at him, what did you tell them to do? He said, I said nothing. And they were speaking in Spanish. I couldn't understand them. And he goes, listen to them, Brother Rob. He said, they're testifying that they just received healing in their body. And there was a little lady that came up there and said that her ears got opened up that she could not hear. And now she could hear and she was crying, testifying the Lord. Amen. And there was other testimonies and they were all testifying in Spanish. There was close to 1,000 people in there that night and 200 of them run into the altars. You see, brothers, that's the Lord. That's not me. I just followed what he told me to do. Amen. That little family beat me back to North Carolina. The man made an attempt to get right with God, but he just couldn't do it. Had the love of the world in his heart. But nevertheless, the child, that very night, it was probably about 7:30 when I got up there, 7:30, maybe 8 o'clock. And this boy was in a room with his baby that thinking it was going to die. And he said, all of a sudden, a presence came into that room. He said, my hair stood up on the back of my neck. He said, this came in the room, and he said, the baby's all hooked up on this machines and laying there with all this stuff and hadn't moved or nothing. He said, all of a sudden, that baby flipped over. He said, it literally flipped over right there before my eyes in the thing and started to cry. They came in, started checking the baby, unhooking all the monitors, and the baby went home, and it was a home on Christmas morning. Let's give Jesus a hand, amen. Hallelujah. Our Lord's a healer, amen. He's alive and he's well and still on the throne, amen. So many things that we could share. I was working on a job and I was painting. And I'm supposed to be in the living room painting, and I was. The mother was in the house in the dining room. You know, and I'm not a eavesdropper. I could really care less what a couple women got to sit around the coffee table and talk about. But I could hear them. And the Spirit of the Lord trusted this for me to hear it. And this woman came in and she was pouring her heart out to her neighbor friend. Had a 16-year-old boy that just had got his driver's license and they took him away from him because he lost his equilibrium and he wasn't able to drive no more. She was all upset because he couldn't go to the school dance and he was losing his ability to walk. They'd taken him to San Francisco to some of the finest specialists and they said that they can't operate on him. and he had a tumor about the size, like they told me the size of it, I mean, my wife could remember, but it was right on the brain stem, and it was inoperable, and they said it would take his life. And the mother was crying and pouring her heart out in there, and I was the painter on the job. And the Spirit of God moved on me to say something. And I said, "Ma'am, would it be okay if I went over and prayed with your son?" And she said, "I've had him." I was in the mountains of California. She says, "I've had him in every church in this mountain. They've cast the devils out of him. They've laid hands on him. They've shook him and everything. They've scared him." She said, "I don't want to put him through no more of that." And I said, "Ma'am, I won't do that. I won't do that. I said, I would just like to come over and pray with him. I'm nothing, brother. And I'm not sitting here trying to build it. I'm somebody. I'm talking about my Lord, my God. He's somebody. If I was had the ability to do these things I'm talking about, brother, and I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. I'd be walking down the hospital aisles and doing this and that, but God has his way in all things. I'm talking about my Lord and my God is what I'm talking about here. He's a healer. We got to listen to that still small voice. We got to yield to it." And she said, "That would be okay that you stop by." I went into the house and the family sitting around in the living room. And sitting around, they had their TV on. I said, "Would it be okay if I ask you to turn the TV off for a minute?" And they went over and said, "No problem." And I started to talk with them. And I started to feel faith in the Spirit of God. And I looked at the young man. I said, "Let me ask you a question, young man. I said, if God would heal you right now and take this thing away from you, would you give him your life and serve him for the rest of your days?" And he said, "Yes, sir, I will." And I said, "Let's pray." And I said, "Would you take and join hands right now?" And I got this family together and I started to pray. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I started to pray. Well, it wasn't a miracle, Brother Rob. I don't know if you want to call it a healing or a miracle, but I do know this, that he went back to the specialist that said they couldn't operate. And they said, "We've misdiagnosed this thing. It's shrinking and it's going away." He got his driver's license returned unto him and he started restoring back into a normal life. Amen. Can we give Jesus a hand? Amen. Hallelujah. We're serving a mighty God, brothers and sisters. Amen. I could go all night long talking to you about when the doctors walked out of the hospital room with my little two-month-old baby and the doctor was crying. You know what I'm saying? When the doctors are crying, he wasn't holding the baby. I'm sorry, the baby was in an oxygen tent. But when the doctor comes out with his nurse and they come to me, you know, and they're crying, that's not a good sign. And I was rebellious. I should have been serving God. And I knew the better. I done gave my life to the Lord, but I wasn't doing him like I should have been. I had my own mind, my own ways, my own ideas. We got to surrender all that. We don't tell God what we're going to do. We say, "Here we are, Lord God, I'll serve you. It doesn't matter. I'll give up anything." I walked away from an aviation career to follow the Lord. Amen. I have no regrets. Amen. He's blessed me well. Amen. Oh, I miss aviation. I miss flying airplanes. But you know what? I love the Lord. Amen. And I have give up nothing and made no sacrifices at all. My God's an awesome God. Amen. But as the doctor come out and he said, "We give your child a 20% chance to live." He was trying to tell me she was dying. He was trying to maybe leave me with a little bit of hope. But I repented before the Lord. I cried out to God and said, "God, I'm sorry, Lord God." And I started repenting. I said, "I'm going to get things right." I had to pack up and move my family away from where I was at. I was helping my brother. You know, and I got sucked into a money-making business world, and God had something better than that for me. And I had to pack up, and I moved away from there, and I repented before the Lord. Sometimes things take a little time. My daughter wasn't miraculously healed right then when I done, but God started moving and showed favor. We got her out of the hospital, and it was a fight for a season. They said that she would have all these elements all of her life. Breathing problems and complications and things. She had collapsed lung, whooping cough. They said if she'd have this problems all of her life. She ain't had no problems, amen. God's a healer, God's good. But it took some time. And we stood and believed on the word of God by faith. And it come. And the child lived. I could go on and go on and share story after story of times that God supernaturally, miraculously moved in our life. We've got people in this church that have received numerous healings and things from the Lord and brought vindication of God's word and being real. The doctors, when I broke my neck in three places and seven ribs and my clavicle or shoulder here in two places, they said I would deal with severe headaches all of my life. I don't have headaches. I don't have no headaches. When they took my voice box out of my neck and had to move it to get in there to put a screw in my neck, they said I'd probably never preach the gospel, but I got a strong voice, hallelujah, and I'm still preaching the word of God. Let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. When they took me into the emergency room that night, they said that I'd never walk, that I would be a quadriplegic if I even lived. Amen. But I got all my limbs working and carrying myself, and it isn't by anything I've done. It's because we're serving a mighty God. Amen. That's still on the throne and still in the healing business. Amen. We're serving a mighty God. You know, we read here in the scriptures here where we read about the commission of God to send out 70. And when they come back and said, we found out that the devils are subject unto us. And they were testifying about people receiving healing and those kind of things. But the Lord said something. He said, there's something greater than that. He said, rejoice that your name be written in the book of life. Amen. That's the most important thing, is to be born again. Amen. And the thing is I started out here this evening. I said, I don't like religious people. I don't like churchy people. I don't like people that get to church and they look at you like I'm better than you. Brothers, when a man gets born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, he realizes that everybody's greater than him. Because all he is a servant of the living God to come and help and to serve God and to help people. You see, people think that the ministers are somebody and something. Amen. And they know you're supposed to take care of them. And I know there's scriptures and Bible for that. But the minister comes to serve. He comes to lay his life down and to help and to do. And do good to them that even despitefully use him. I know the scriptures of what you as a congregation are responsible to the preachers and to the house of God, but the preachers have taken advantage of that, and they've taken advantage of good people, and they merchandise them and rob them. They said they shear the fleece, you know, from the flock down until they bleed, you know, and that's not the intentions or the thoughts. We want to serve God. We got to remember that God is the same to every generation. He's still here. He's still on the throne. He's still moving in the behalf of his people. Amen. God's a healer. God's a deliverer. God's a savior. We have to trust him. We don't want to limit him. We could limit him with our unbelief. We could limit him by thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know if he could do that. He could do all things. Amen. The Bible said he could make the impossible things possible. You understand that? When they diagnosed me with hepatitis C, they said it's something you'll never get rid of. It's a disease you can't get rid of, and now I don't have it. You see, that was impossible to the doctor, but it was possible for my God. You understand that? Why did he suffer you to have that? For he could testify and show his strength and his power and his glory. Amen. God's on the throne. He's still real. You see, if I never received a healing ever in my body, I'd still say the same thing. His word of God is real. It's true. It's powerful. Amen. And we got to believe the word. If two of us could come together believing in anything and touching that very thing, it was done for us. As the sister, when she called me, she goes, you know, the Bible says to bring them forward into the church. And let the elders anoint them with oil. Did it say they might be healed? Did it say by chance they could be healed? Well, maybe. Oh, a 5% chance too? No. It said they shall be healed. Amen. How many believe in shall be? Huh? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. We're talking about a mighty God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, we believe the word. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a mighty God, an awesome God. His word is alive. It's quick, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing the soul and the spirit. Just remember, he has his way in all things. You see, he has his way in the good. He has his way in the evil. God ordains and puts things together to go exactly the way that he wants them to go. We have to believe that. Amen. I share with the brethren and things, you know, and I'm a repetitive type preacher. A lot of times I repeat things, but there's reasons for them, because the thing is you ate a steak 2 weeks ago and you might eat another one tomorrow night and it's still good. Amen. But the thing is that I share stories how God works for you can understand God. I know that you all know the story about Moses. He went out in place in the desert and he found a bush on fire, you know, and the Lord spoke through it and said, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. We all heard these stories as children or whatever, and we know these kind of things. But he found that God commissioned him to go free the people, the Hebrew people, and to get them out of bondage. So God goes to him and he says to go back to Pharaoh. And he was afraid to go back. You do know that. I mean, he was had a fear to go there for the simple reason he knew that he had killed one of the Egyptian soldiers for beating, you know, one of the Hebrew children, and he killed him. And he knew if he went back, he'd be put to death. You see, but we're not afraid to die, so he was commissioned of God to go back. But yeah, there was a fear there, but he overcome it and went. But you know, when the Lord went to him and told him to go over there to free the people, at the very same time, if you go back and read it in your Bibles, he went over and hardened Pharaoh's heart. You know, it would be like me calling Derek and say, "Hey, Derek, listen. Go over and borrow $50 from your dad. Could you do that?" "Well, sure, Brother Rob." And then as soon as I hang up the phone with him before I had a chance to get over his dad's house, I called his dad and say, "Hey, don't loan it to him." Well, why would you ask him to go over there and tell him not to do it? Well, this is what God did. He told him to go free the people. And he went over and hardened Pharaoh's heart and told him, hardened his heart for he wouldn't let him go. Why did God do that? Now think about it. The Bible's clear about it. Why did God do that? For he could show his power. Amen. Look at all the miracles that took place because God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Oh, but people died. Yeah. But after they got out in the wilderness, some died there too, some of God's own elect. Bible said God's ways aren't your ways. Man's ways aren't God's ways. You see, we got to realize we're serving a big, mighty God. And what this little world that you live in, if you live to be 100 years old, ain't nothing when you think of eternity. 100 sounds like a whole bunch to you, but 100 ain't nothing. How about when you're 150,000 years old? Does 100 years old sound like much then? Or how about when you're 2,070,000 years old? What does the 100 years seem like then? A day to the Lord is as 1,000 years. Nothing. What is it? You see, you're in a carnal mindset. So what we do is we trust God. My uncle was smitten with cancer. He was a heathen. But the Bible said, "Ye that suffer in the flesh cease from sin." My uncle was a professional man, a good man. He was a good businessman. But God wanted him to serve him. He wanted him to surrender and serve him and let him be his God. He got smitten with cancer, suffered for 6 years. But you know, in that 6 year of suffering, he come to know Jesus. Amen. And he said, was he healed? No, he shortened his days. But in the suffering, he ceased from a sinful way and started confessing the Lord. You understand that? See, God has his way. Well, what if my uncle could have lived another 20 years on this earth and his nephew could have went fishing with him and had a good time with him and all some of those kind of things and didn't see him suffer and his body go weak, break down into frailty, and I wouldn't have got to see all that? But then yet he died and went to hell. You see, I would rather suffer on this side as on the other. The Bible said some men's sins go before them and some after. What does that mean, you might say? It means that either we're going to bring them before the Lord now or if they come after, it's damnation. So we got to follow the word of God and realize that he has his way. Brother Branham was a powerful man of God. Saw so many vindicated miracles. I mean, innumerable of the things that he's seen. But an individual came into the altars for healing and he said, "I can't. I got to find the angel of the Lord before I could pray for you." You see, because sometimes God allows the suffering for he could bring people to repentance. Do you remember what the Bible says about your hand? It said if your hand offends you, to cut it off. You're better off to enter into the kingdom of God maimed as go into hell with both of your hands. The Bible says if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Because you're better off to enter in blind, partially blind, than go to hell with both of your eyes. Just remember, God has his way in all things. Trust him. Don't ever think that anything's out of control. So many times we Christian people, we want to blame everything on the devil. And a lot of times the devil ain't even know we're around. You know, when you say, "Oh, he's always around." I say, yay and amen. Sons of God came to present themselves. The devil's there also. Yeah, the devil, he's a killer and a steal. He come to kill, steal, and destroy. Believe me, I know the powers of darkness. I know the powers of the devil. But a lot of times we're blaming things on the devil because if we feel like that's the right thing to do. But God has his way in the good and the evil is what my Bible teaches us. You understand that? Do you realize that God created darkness? Do you realize that he created the devil? Do you realize that he created those things and he has his way with those things? You would never know the power of God unless you saw the adversary move in. See, I would never know that God was a healer until somebody was sick, somebody was broken, somebody was dead. And then I would find the power of God. So God has his way in those things. Just as I said when they brought the child before the Lord. Is this for daddy's sins? And he said, no, this is for the Son of God could be glorified and magnified. Amen. You see, so we've got to understand the Word of God. Why God moves, why He reigns, why He speaks, and what He does. And we've got to learn to be sensitive to it. We've got to learn to yield to it. What is God doing in your life right now? How's He moving? Have you listened to Him? Is He talking to you? Has He spoke to you today? Some people say, I don't know if I could tell when He's talking to me. Why, it would be a terrible place to be. Because the Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. We got to learn to discern the voice of God. We got to learn to hear. But sometimes we get so busy in our natural carnal concepts of this world and this life that we've just drowned out the voice of God. I tried drowning Him out with a career. I tried drowning Him out before with alcohol. I tried drowning Him out before with drugs. You see, but man, when He's got you, He says, you're mine. And then all of a sudden He's going to bring you. Started burying all my friends around me. I was a child, brother, and I didn't surrender my life. And all of a sudden, I started burying all my friends around me. I'm talking 12 and 13-year-old kids taking guns and putting them in their head and blowing their brains out. That I was my friends, that I was with every day. And they start doing those kind of things. You see, God has a way. You say, well, God wouldn't allow that. He has His way in all things. That little 12-year-old might not have known what he was doing, and God could have took him right into glory. You believe that? You say, oh, no, not for murder, not for killing yourself. I know they won't make it in with suicide. That's just what you think. My Bible says this. It says, who are you to find fault with me if I have one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? You understand that? Let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of preachers that spend their time preaching messages and things from things that are going to be in hell. And there's going to be people that you would think, oh, I don't know about that. And they'll find their way into glory. Amen. Because my God's a merciful God and a long-suffering God. You see, but we've got to understand Him. And we got to surrender to Him. We got to submit to Him. He is our God. The Bible said to become as a little child to enter into the kingdom. Amen. I'm going to try to square before we have an altar service. And I just want to say a couple more things. I started out speaking about this born-again relationship, and I compared it to a natural relationship. Now, the thing is a mother knows when she's got a child. This mother wasn't too many days ago. She remembered that little guy in there kicking and moving and squirming. You know. And the thing is that when we find out about a conception, about receiving that seed, knowing that we've been into that relationship with God, that this thing comes within. Let me tell you, when you're born again, it's going to be more than a goosebump. It's going to be more than a little bit of a hair standing up on the back of your head. We're not even born by the feelings of those things. But brethren, you're going to receive a life just like this mama did. Now I'm going to say something here. There's a lot of people. I wrote a little track. I think there's someone back there. We're getting ready to print some more here in the next day or two in Romanian to send off over to Moldova where they speak Romanian. In this track, I was expressing this about this being born again for people could analyze to find out. Now, the thing is a lot of people, when you get married, young couples could get married, and we could talk about the marriage relationship. I think y'all understand when I say that what I mean by the marriage relationship. The thing is, there's a lot of exuberance, a lot of fleshly exuberance, excitement, we may say, or whatever. Not trying to get into no ignorance or perverted mindset here. I'm talking about the purity of it. But you see, in the exuberance of a consummation of a marriage or an exuberance of the relationship doesn't always necessarily mean a child is born. We know people that have problems conceiving. Sometimes it could be the husband, seed dead, no power in the seed. Sometimes it could be a barren woman, as the Bible speaks about, that her womb is barren and she can't receive. Now this is what happens. There's religious people, they go through the formalities. They go to church. Some of them are Pentecostals. They get in the church and they wave their hands and they shout, hallelujah, praise God, glory to God. They cry, they dance, they weep, they do all the motions. But there's no conception. You see, the marriage relationship, the ones that the woman's womb is barren, they go through all the motions, the same one as the other one that conceived. So I'm talking about going to church is a relationship like in the marriage. But as you conceived, the little mama here knew when she did. Boy, when the thing started moving and started pressing her out and changing her body. You see, when you're really born again, there's something that happens to you. Just like that mother. You see, He made us a virgin without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. We need to understand what He's talking about. When He washed us with the blood, He made us as pure as a virgin, He said. And see, because if He didn't, then the Lord Himself would be a whoremonger to go into a relationship with us. The Bible teaches us if a man goes into a relationship with a whore, it makes him a whore. You realize that? So if we're a whore and Jesus goes in a relationship with us, it makes him one. And you know he's not going to do that. So we got to be washed in the blood is the first thing that's got to take place. And we got to be made without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, the Bible says. And when we're made this way, then we're pure. The Bible says pure as and white as snow. And then we are capable to go before the king. I could take you into the allegories of the Old Testament before they took the woman into the king, the ritualistics of a year of separation. They had to be virgins. They had to go through a ritualistics of cleansings and all of these things, and they would take them in before the king. But see, the blood of Jesus done that for us, amen, and made us without spot, wrinkle, blemish, took us before the king. Now the thing is if you come in, the Bible talks about the reign of God coming down on the just and the unjust. So a lot of times we could come in the presence of the reign of God and we could feel God. But we got to get more than that. We got to get in where we receive. And the seed remaineth within us and comes within to our womb. And we bring forth this birth of this child. You see, and you say, well, you're making it complicated. Well, listen, I could talk about the natural relationship of a man, and I can go into some medical terminologies about, again, the blood seed, the fallopian tube, the placenta, and I could start talking about the uterus. I could start talking about the ovaries and all the things, and you could say, man, you're making it complicated. It's just as simple as a relationship. Well, see, I'm talking in the spiritual realm. There's the same complications. And sometimes people, they go through the formalities, and they think, there's sometimes the mama say, well, maybe I'm expecting, and they're not. You see, but you do know. You do know when you are. Well, how do I know when I'm born again? Well, I could turn you over into the scriptures and read the scripture. You see, just like I know that's Derek's little boy. No denying that. It looks just like him. It's his boy. How do I know I'm a son of God? How do I know that there's a spirit in me crying, Abba, Father? Because I got the same attributes of Jesus. I got love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, kindness. Those are the fruits of the Spirit of Christians, sons of God, children of God. But when we got anger, malice, wrath, bitterness, hate, and all these things, there's something wrong. Do Christian people deal with those things? Those are the things that we're in a continual warfare with. Paul said, there's something in the outer members of my flesh that's warring, you know, warring against me. And he said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. But the very things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. See, there's a warfare. You got to realize that's why God calls us soldiers. We got to get in this fight of faith. We got to get in a place that we could get to believe and unify. The Bible said we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. We need a brotherhood. We need strength. We need unity. And we need to learn to fight the good fight of faith. Time's short. Your government's failed. If you can't see that our government has failed, then I'd say then you need to get your eyes open. Everything that built America and the government of America, they've despised and turned against. How long is God going to allow that to happen? How long is he going to allow people to continue to spit in his face until he brings judgment and wrath? Brethren, we're on the threshold of it. It's prophesied in the word. There won't be one rock standing on top of another. His word's true. We know it's going to come to pass. You say, well, they've been saying that for years. Well, that means it's closer today, doesn't it? The writing's on the wall. The judgment's on America. Oh, now you're trying to scare us, preacher. I'm not trying to scare you. So you heard somebody say, scared the hell out of you. Well, I'd like to do that. That might sound a little crude to you, but I'd love to scare the hell out of you because hell's going to take you if I can't. I'm not trying to talk crude here. I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to speak vulgar. I'm speaking biblical. You see, there's people that have hell within. I've got the kingdom of God within me. You see, the kingdom is now. We read it right here. The kingdom draweth nigh, the kingdom's now. The Bible said, beloved, now you are the kingdom, or we are the kingdom of God. The kingdom's with us when two or three come together. Jesus is here. He's in the kingdom. We got to believe the word. Let's stand together, saints of God. I could go on. There's so many things of the word of God that could be spoke about and fulfilled. Amen. Here this evening. Well, we're trusting the Lord and we're going to sing a song or two and open the altars up in just a moment. I want you to all be in faith. I want you to be in the Lord with me in the Spirit of God and in faith. We know in the Bible says, one could set 1,000 to flight and two could set 10,000 to flight. Let's sing a song or two, brethren. Let's worship the Lord. If you remember in the scriptures, They took handkerchiefs off of Brother Paul. And these handkerchiefs that they took off of him, they would take it to sick people and they would receive healings. Was there power in the handkerchief? No. Is there power in this oil? Is there power in the oil? And the power is in the blood of the Lamb. But this is a point of contact. The oil, according to the Word, is anointed. We've prayed over this oil. Fasted over this oil. There's oil in here that we've got. Some of this was from a great man of God named Reverend George L. Pike. And some of this oil he prayed over. And we added in with some of the other oils. And you say, well, you put in your confidence in those other men of God? And I'm putting my confidence in God that they called upon when they asked him to anoint that oil. I put my confidence in the Lord, not in the napkin or in the handkerchief. I put my confidence in Christ. As I said, the man started walking right down the side aisle right there. And I stopped. I said, brother, there's no need for you to even come. Because I felt that virtue depart and leave my body. And I said, there's no need. God's healed you and taken care of it. And it was vindicated by medical science. Why? Because we're serving a mighty God. Let's sing that song together. Have faith in God. Can we have faith tonight? Can we have faith to speak to these ears and ask them to open? Can we have faith that God could open up eyes, ears, and make the lame? I feel the peace of the Holy Ghost, amen. You feel peace tonight? Let's all close our eyes just for a moment. Sometimes looking around, we can get our mind, maybe we're certainly, but I feel the Holy Ghost, amen. I feel the Spirit of God. I feel the virtue of the Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. I want you to open up over to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter for me. I'm going to read some things here to vindicate the Word. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise. Let's pray together. Lift your hands and worship Him. We love you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, we have faith in you tonight, Lord God. As I feel your mighty power and your presence, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord God. Ora masandria kila masitulo mokote. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, mighty God, we praise your name. We worship you, Jesus. Let me read some scripture. And we're going to go right back into this song. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm not a denominationalist. I'm not telling you to believe in the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the Church of God, the holiness people. That's not what I'm saying. I believe in one thing and one thing only. It's Jesus. I've seen the Pentecostals fail. I've seen the Baptists fail. I've seen the Methodists fail, the Catholics, all of them. You know, Jesus chose 12 and one of them was the devil. I don't got no confidence in religion, but I got confidence in His Word. But let's read His Word a moment, and we're going to go right back into song, and we're going to open the altar. Just when it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. This is the Word now. This ain't Brother Rob's doctrine. It is my doctrine. It's the Lord's doctrine, but it's what I pray. But I mean, it isn't because I'm a Church of God or a Pentecostal or an Assembly of God or a Catholic. This is the Bible. Amen. Y'all believe in the King James Bible?
Yes, sir.
Y'all believe in that? Amen. All right. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ignorant means you're unlearned about them. There's many people unlearned about the Word. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of the gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operation. It is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. To who? To profit with all. Now, this is New Testament doctrine. Some churches say, oh, this ain't no more. It's, you know, that was back then. That makes the Word of God a lie. You understand that? He said he's no respecter of person. Amen. And he said he'd give it to every man. I believe this word. I don't care what denominations say. I don't care what lukewarm, dried up denominational people say. If somebody comes to me and say, God don't heal no more day, I tell them that they're of their father, the devil, because that's a lie. And believe me, I've done that before, and I don't like to be rude, but I believe the word. I'm called in defense of this word. Verse 8, for to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom. It's a gift now. There's 9 of them here. We're going to read about them. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. That same Spirit is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gave us his Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. It's the Spirit of Jesus that departed from him, and the Father one. And it comes into us. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost is living and dwelling. You come together in his name, he's in the midst. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same self-Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jews, Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Amen. Let's go back and finish singing that song. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I just want to vindicate the word. Amen. In God. Again, let's close our eyes and worship him. Let's magnify our Lord and our God. Let's praise him. The Bible said, lifting up holy hands and praising him. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, why do you do that? Because he asked me to. Amen. When I was a child, somebody point a stick at you and say, you're under the rest, put your hands up. I say, I surrender, Lord God. I surrender all to you. Hallelujah. Have faith. Let's worship him, saints. We love you, Lord God. We worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I praise your holy name, Lord God. We're here to worship you. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you'll bring that baby up here, the mother and the father, grandparents, you're welcome to come if you like. Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of the Lord. I think God's doing something right now. I don't. I know God's doing something right now. Brother Jonathan Lambert, if you'll come up here, some of you other brethren, come in the altars with me. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Could you take him out? Could you take him out of the? Can you take him? Yeah, you want to. Careful there, Dan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just hold it. Faith in God. Let me stop y'all for a minute. There's power in a confession. Is it okay if I dedicate your baby to the Lord now? Would that be okay? You know, they bring the little children to have a dedication, but the dedicator is dedicating you. Is that all right, Mom? You remember I told you I said something to that young man that was had the tumor and was dying? I said, would you give your life to the Lord and serve him all your days? The Lord do a miracle for your little baby. Will you promise to raise this baby in the ways of God and teach him the things of God and the ways of God? You promise that? That's a vow to God, not to me. Would you do that too, Mama? I want you to take and put your hands up here. Come on, Brother Jonathan, up here. I want you to put your hands right around right there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Y'all ain't Pentecostal people, right? You never been around Pentecostals. So I don't mean to alarm you. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a son of God, a child of God. But we do believe in Pentecost, the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's what's moving right now, taking care of this child. Amen. Let me pray. I want you to pray with me. Most gracious Father, as I anoint right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, this little child, Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, as you heard the confession of this young man, Lord God, he said that if you would open the ears of this child, most gracious Father, that he would raise this child up in the way that it's going. I believe he would do that anyway, Lord God. But Father, I heard a vow, most gracious Father, to raise it up in the way, Lord God, by being an example, by serving you, walking with you, being obedient to your word and your scriptures. And this mother, likewise, Father God, that they could be soul winners in thy kingdom, Lord, that these other youth could see them as servants of the Most High God. But Father, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, I command in the name of Jesus for these ears to open. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you're a liar and you're the father of all lies. And the medical doctors are a lie. They do not know. But I know the true physician is named Jesus. And Father God, I say right now, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and by those stripes that you receive, that this child be made whole and healthy right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord God. Father, I praise your holy name. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let me see the baby a minute. Hallelujah. It's okay. It's okay. Praise you, Jesus. It's all right. I want you to continue to pray with me just for a moment. Hey, dear, are you getting hungry? Is that what's going on here? Shari matrasi ondoro motilia ke hende heshindolomosi. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, I thank you for the virtue of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the anointing of your Spirit, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the vindication of your word. Father, I thank and praise your holy name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This little fella is going to be able to hear Daddy calling to him, talking to him, and Mama. Do you believe that, sister? He's fine. I tell you, the child's fine in the name of Jesus. Believe that. He's fine. There's his hand. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray with you both one more time. The baby's fine. Oh, maki andi shitri kosotru shandehi. Oh, Lord God, I thank you, Father God. Father God, I know that when Jesus laid hands and healed sick and he told them to go and tell no one, Father, because he knew the time wasn't yet, but Father, we know the time is appointed and the time is now. Father, that this couple could go and testify and magnify you in your name. Father God, fulfill your word within this family. Lord God, let them be soul winners, Father, into the kingdom, knowing that the time is shy and near. And Father, knowing that both of them know people that are perishing, that have no hope. But Lord God, use them in the vineyard, Father God, for your glory and your praise. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. The child's fine, bro. It'll be vindicated by the medical field. It may not be tomorrow. It may be tomorrow. This child, I believe, is hearing you right now. But let me tell you something. This child's ears are opening, and they may be all the way open, but they will open. You hear me? They will open. And I believe they are. But you're going to see it vindicated. And you'll be able to come back and tell me that either I'm a liar, and I'm not. God's word is real, brother. And I promise you, my Bible teaches me. He said, you anoint them with oil and they shall be healed. This child's healed. Believe it. Don't let the devil rob that from you. You can walk away and let unbelief rob that. I've known people. I prayed for a lady that was in a wheelchair that couldn't walk. And when we prayed for this sister, she hadn't had no movement in her legs. She'd been paralyzed, and she started moving them. And it was a healing process. She didn't want to give up her smoking. And you know what? And she allowed that door through the tobacco to open up unbelief. And she's still in a wheelchair today. She could not feel any feeling from about right above her stomach, the rest through her whole body. She couldn't feel anything, touch to her feet, anything. Started praying for her, and she could feel. And then she started moving her feet. You see, that was healing. If I cut you right now with a knife, healing would start immediately. The blood would coagulate, and then all of a sudden the skin would start scabbing. And it's a little timely process. I believe we're going to see a miracle here. But if it's a healing, trust and believe it, and you're going to see this little child here. He's going to hear Grandma hollering to him and Grandpa over there. Y'all believe that? Amen. If you believe that, let's give Jesus a hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you. your child. It's a little noise. I love you. Amen. Hallelujah. Serving a mighty God. You say, Brother Rob, what if the child doesn't hear? Well, you can deal with your unbelief if you want. I've done declared unto you, the child can hear. Can you believe that with me?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord's good. Walk in the Spirit. Trust Him. Be led. You know, there's some preachers that are afraid to pray for people. Amen. Thinking, what if he doesn't? What do you mean, what if he doesn't? He's already done it. Do you realize that he healed this child before the foundation
Amen.
Of the world? Do you realize that if you're born again, he put your name in the book of life before the world ever was? Do you believe in predestination?
Amen.
Amen. If you're not sure, you can leave him with Brother Rob for a while. Amen. I love y'all.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord is good. Let's sing another song, brethren, and we'll close the service. Amen. How about singing Because He Lives? Amen.
Because He lives,
I can face tomorrow.
Because
we just got a reports back here this week. A little baby we've been fasting and praying for had cancer when it was born. Mama ate up with cancer. They ran the scans and the tests. And the little baby is cancer-free today. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. We know God is real. God's on the throne. God is alive. And God is well.
Because He lives.
We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify you. You are our Lord and our God. Hallelujah. The same to every generation. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Y'all love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Are you thankful you come to the house
Amen.
Of God tonight?
Thank you, Lord. God.
Amen. We're serving a mighty God. Amen. We'll get Brother Jonathan to come up and dismiss us. Prayers. Can I hold the baby again? Hey, dear. You're too bright-eyed. Oh, you want something to eat, I see that.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.